Welcome once again. We have the privilege of worshipping our wonderful and true God. Can I just share that the voting for the Constitution has gone way above the 75%. It must be 90 or 95% in favour. Thank you very much for your support. We're now going to sing God Forgave My Sin in Jesus' Name. Come to pray to the Lord. I'm going to lead you in Psalm 95, the first part of that psalm, as our praise to the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Amen. Now we're going to sing another old hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. How important it is that God should have his way and not ours. And we had not. Sorry.
Oh. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Too high. Take five. Have thine own way, take five. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Come to our Lord in believing prayer. Let us pray. Father God, you know that in your world, in our country, there are much suffering from this virus. But Lord, today we recognize that so many people have been working hard to deal with the problem. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for scientists. We thank you for politicians. We thank you for doctors, for nurses, for clinics. We thank you for all the people who have been responsible for making the vaccinations possible. Lord, there are so many people to thank. And above all, Lord, we recognize the hard work of the National Health Service. We thank you, Lord, for the volunteers too. So, Lord, accept our thanks, but, Lord, help us to be responsible. Help us to be reliable. We've now been given more freedom. May we not misuse that freedom, but may we take advantage of the things that we can now do without overdoing things. Help us to behave properly. Help us to be obedient to what is required of us at this time. And Lord, help us to love you more and more. Forgive us, Lord, when we failed you. Forgive us when we've been inclined to go our own way. But Lord, walk with us. Walk with us so that we know the way to go. That way is to follow you, Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want to forget self. We want to worship you. We want to serve you. We want to live for you. Lord, we pray for all people in need, for the sick, for the dying, for the bereaved, for the unemployed, for the homeless, for the lonely, for those who are suffering from mental breakdowns. Oh Lord, there are so many, many people in need. Some will be out in the cold tonight. Yes, Lord, we remember the homeless. We remember the housebound. We remember all people in need. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us not only to pray for them, but to do all that we can to help them through their situations. Lord, we pray for our friends in India, and we pray, Lord, that that country will soon be able to enjoy some of the privileges that we now have. Lord, will you have your way in your world? Will you have your way in each and every country? Will you have your way in the church, your church, Lord? Will you have your way in our lives? May we, Lord, be ready to serve you at all times. And may our behavior be all that it should be. Lord, teach us how to obey. Teach us how to be humble. Teach us, Lord, to be more like Jesus. May other people see Jesus in us, and may we share his love with all that we meet. This prayer, all of our prayers, we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Our reading today comes from Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat grapes, eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel, for every living soul belongs to me, the Father as well as the Son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. Suppose there is a righteous man who does what is just and right. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of the house of Israel. He does not defile his neighbour's wife or lie with a woman during her period. He does not oppress anyone, but returns what he took in pledge for a loan. He does not commit a robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He does not lend at usury or take excessive interest. He withholds his hand from doing wrong and judges fairly between man and man. He follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the Sovereign Lord. Suppose he has a violent son who sheds blood or does any of these other things, though the father has done none of them. He eats at the mountain shrines. He defiles his neighbor's wife. He oppresses the poor and needy. He commits robbery. He does not return what he took in pledge. He looks to the idols. He does detestable things. He lends at usury and takes excessive interest. Will such a man live? He will not, because he has done all these detestable things. He will surely be put to death, and his blood will be on his own head. But suppose this son has a son who sees all the sins his father commits, and though he sees them, he does not do such things. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of the house of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife. He does not oppress anyone or require a pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He withholds his hand from sin and takes no usury or excessive interest. He keeps my laws and follows my decrees. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live. But his father will die for his own sin, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was wrong among his people. Yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Since the son has done what is just and right, and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. But if a wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed, and keeps all my decrees, and does what is just and right, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the offences he has committed will be remembered against him. Because of the righteous things he's done, he will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? But if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked man does, will he live? None of the righteous things he has done will be remembered because of the unfaithfulness he is guilty of, and because of the sins he has committed, he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all the offences he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offences. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offences you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure and the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live.
Sing the song, I've found a friend. We need a friend, don't we? And we couldn't have a better friend than Jesus. The message that I bring, which I firmly believe, comes from our Lord, is entitled, How Do We Behave? Yes, how do you behave? How do I behave? Is our behaviour all it should be? Each one of us is responsible for our own behaviour. We've had that reading from Ezekiel. He, the prophet, who served his Lord faithfully. Verse 2 we read, the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edge. As we read the chapter, we find the prophet answering the incorrect statements that the Jewish exiles were making about God and their own difficult situation. God knew what they were saying, and so did his prophet. And the Lord said, no more. And this leads us to our first of 3 points. Number one, from verses 5 to 18, you cannot blame your ancestors. Many people seem to think you can. But Ezekiel refutes the proverb. And he imagines three men in a family, because this is something he knew his listeners could easily identify with. A, verses 5 to 9, there is a righteous father. Verses 10 to 13, B, there is a violent son. C, verses 14 to 18, there is a good grandson. He will not die for his father's sin. But the people ask, why does the grandson not share the guilt of his father? The grandson has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep God's commandments. So he will not be held responsible for the father's sin. So the scripture tells us that we will not be held responsible for the sins of our ancestors. Now comes the truth. Number two, we can blame ourselves. Oh yes. Verses 19 to 24. The Jewish exiles did not think God was being just with them or being fair with them. Ezekiel describes a wicked man who repented, who turned away from his former sin and lived to honour God. He then described a so-called righteous man who returned to live a sinful life and then died. The lesson from these two examples is surely obvious, and it answered their questions. People determine their own character and their own destiny by the decisions that they make. Ezekiel was giving the Jewish nation a message of hope. If they would truly repent and turn to the Lord, God has no delight in the death of the wicked, but he is not obligated to invade their minds and hearts and force them to obey. God's not like that. From the time of Adam to the end of time, people are saved by faith. And so number three, verses 25 to 32. You cannot blame the Lord either. You can't blame your ancestors. You can't blame the Lord. Ezekiel again quotes the words of those in exile who are complaining about God and saying, he's not fair. So Ezekiel points out to them that God is not a God who is being unfair. But it was them who were being unfair with God. They wanted God to act contrary to his own word and to his own holy nature. Our God is light, which means he is holy and just. And our God is love. And his love is a holy love. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we are saved from our sins by God's love, because salvation is by grace, by the grace of God, and grace is love that pays a price. the conclusion of Ezekiel's message here is an invitation from the Lord for people to repent, to change their lives, to turn from their sin, and to seek a new heart and a new spirit. God promised the people a new heart if only they would seek him by faith. We know surely that we cannot blame our ancestors, nor can we blame God. Instead, we must take responsibility for our own actions and our own decisions. Salvation comes by grace, accompanied by faith. And you know, it's our Lord's will that none should perish, but that all should be saved. So we need to watch our behaviour. What do other people see in the way we behave? You know, if they can see Jesus in us, then that is a great testimony. If they can see the Spirit at work in us, transforming us and being more and more Christ-like, then that will help others to know the God of love, who doesn't want anyone to be lost, but all to be saved. So we do need, don't we, to behave as true Christians. And my friends, it's possible, not because of ourselves, but when God works in us through the power of his Spirit, we can do all things, for with God, all things are possible. God bless you. Amen. Now our last song, Before the Throne of God Above.
Just now.
We come to you now, O God, at the end of our time of worship. Help us, Lord, to be loyal to you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to learn the art of humility. Help us, Lord, to love all people. Help us to behave as true Christians surely should. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and all those we love, all those we know, both now and forevermore. Amen.